Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
This is really, if you think about it, if you give me just a couple of minutes, this Sunday is really one of the most important Sundays in the whole Christmas season. You know, most of the time we think of Christmas, of Advent. Advent is building up for Christmas. We celebrate Christmas, and of course I know what happens, all of the presents, all of the eating, the feasting, the visiting, the traveling, all happens at Christmas, right? Everything is building up for Christmas. But the question is that we want to kind of come to is, what is the meaning of all of that busyness? We all get caught up in it. As a matter of fact, I think it's a good thing to some extent that we get caught up, almost swept away by the energy and the love and the joy and the warmth that is Christmas. But it's today, it's on Epiphany, that we really have to come to a sense of to what end. To what end? See, think about what happens during Christmas. All of Christmas, all of that activity is a celebration of what God has done for us. Emmanuel, God is with us. God has come among us. And we celebrate that. But it's on Epiphany that we have to ask, but what difference has it made in your life? What now? It's kind of like, did you come for the party or did you come for the relationship? Which of those two will dominate the rest of your calendar year? And think about what happens during the Christmas season. During Christmas Eve, you know, the sanctuary, if you were here on Christmas Eve, is beautifully decked out. All of the candles are lit. There's a sense of unity for that moment. But that moment is an invitation to something even better, even greater. But the challenge is whether you will accept that joyful invitation. See, sometimes I think that Christmas is like going to a huge banquet, a wonderful banquet, better than anything that you can ever imagine. And if you've ever been to a wedding or a reception, you know that sometimes in very big weddings, there's a time where everybody is kind of getting ready for the couple to come in. Maybe the couple's taking pictures or something. And there are people that are going around with hors d'oeuvres. Have you been to those kind of banquets? And they go around, and all you do is you take off, and they're wonderful hors d'oeuvres. They're wonderful. They're just beautiful. And you're celebrating and you're talking. But that is just the introduction. It's really intended to kind of get your palate sensitive to what's about to happen. That the banquet doors will open up and you will be able to rush in and sit down and a beautiful feast will be prepared for you. Christmas, the sense of Advent, is that sense of here is just an hors d'oeuvre. Here's just a taste of what is about to happen. It's through the rest of the year, it's through the sense of Epiphany and through the rest of the year that we discover the sumptuous banquet that God has in store for us. The challenge, though, is not being just satisfied with hors d'oeuvres, but say, I want the whole thing. If you will, you remember that old saying, I want the whole enchilada. I want more of God, not less. Christmas and Advent was here to say, this is just a foretaste of what God is able to do. This is just a glimmer of what the kingdom has in store. Don't be satisfied with just that glimmer. Go for the whole thing. So we come to a time of Epiphany. What is Epiphany? Well, as the sign says, it's the three wise men. It's their time of coming. They come to see the baby Jesus, and it is, in scriptural terms, it is the recognition of who this child is. They represent the three gifts, of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is a recognition of who Jesus is. It is for the three wise men, it is their aha moment. And so we can say that Epiphany is the ability to comprehend the essence of what is happening. It is to experience an aha moment. Have you ever had that where finally something clicks with you? We say the light bulb goes on and you go, oh, now I see. Now I know what he's talking about. Now I get it. Jesus constantly, over and over, used metaphor to try and get his point across, to get that aha moment, to say this is what God is doing. It's like a landowner that had a great land and lent it out. It's like a prodigal son. It's all of these things trying to get for us that aha moment. But let me ask you, in your own faith journey, in your own time of spiritual growth, when was the last time you had an aha moment? When was the last time you had something happen in your life and it just kind of took your breath away? And you go, oh, that's what it's all about. I've been confused. I didn't know. This is what it's all about. Oh, I get it now. This is the story of the three wise men. See, so often when we come to Epiphany, and especially when we talk about the three wise men, we think about it in terms of history. Well, there were the three kings from the east, and they traveled, and they did this, and they did that. And then they went, and they saw the baby Jesus, and that's Epiphany, and that's a church word, and we're kind of going through a church calendar. We're back into the routine. It's a story that is supposed to inform your present journey. It's supposed to give you an aha moment. This is what it looks like, and this can be yours as well. And so this morning, I want to give you some keys to help you unlock that aha moment in your own life. But it's going to require a journey. And not everybody wants to take that journey. Let us now center our lives on what God is saying. We're going to open up the scriptures. We're going to learn about the journey of the wise men as recorded in Matthew 2 and some of the keys that it helps us understand the power of that aha moment. Now, as I'm looking at this, I recognize that that little thing before we do scripture is not up on the screen because I forgot. But you have it memorized, right? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. Let's figure out what that purpose is. This is from Matthew chapter 2. See if you can figure out the struggles, the doubts, and the fears that go into that aha moment. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed, and on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their journey by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, bless the reading of your word, for you are our rock and our fortress and our redeemer. Amen. One of the real temptations, especially during Epiphany, especially now that we're in a new year, is to kind of get into a habit and to kind of go, here's just another year and another time of routine. But for the church, for our mission, it's a time of excitement and a time of exhilaration. We have new opportunities to affect the outcome of the world, of missionaries, of giving within our community, of all these things that are transforming. John, there is a video that is up on the screen. Have you found it? That's it. Can you play it for us? Epiphany is the beginning. It's the acceptance of the beginning of that journey. It's that aha moment of saying, I'm a part of this journey, not just an observer, not just part of the audience, but I'm part of the army. I'm part of what God is doing. But if you noticed in the story of the wise men, they had seen something that was in the stars, and they were moved to go find out what its meaning is. What is the deeper meaning of what is happening here? If you listen, if you read anything about C.S. Lewis, if you're familiar with the Narnia stories, C.S. Lewis puts it this way. They were in search of the deeper magic. What is the story behind the story? What is epiphany? What is that aha moment? But you notice that as in encountering this, there are people that saw the same things. The wise men had seen the stars and they had interpreted what was out there. But there are barriers that you're facing that are trying to steal that epiphany, that aha moment, that excitement, that exhilaration, that life is more than just routine and rituals. The barriers that people experience are the commonality, right? Everybody had seen the stars, but they didn't all look at them the same way. They weren't searching for opportunities. There were those temptations to come to Jerusalem and stay with us and be a part of what we're doing and getting off the track instead of searching for what God is doing, where God is doing it, they get off track into Jerusalem. Maybe it's the busyness. Did you notice that one of the things that happened in Jerusalem when they go and they ask is everybody was stirred by this, but nobody went to Bethlehem with them, because actually they went to the prophets and they said, we know where it's supposed to happen. We can tell you it's in Bethlehem. No, we're not going to go with you. We just tell you where it is, because if God were really in this, he would do it with us first. It is our sense of busyness, and it's our sense of apathy. We're too busy. We've got so many other things to do. And I want you to think about your own journey of faith. Do any of these really apply to you? That you're so familiar with the story of Christmas, it doesn't really affect you anymore. It doesn't move your spirit or just give you that aha moment. So what I want to try and do for us and throughout the rest of the year is create for you your own epiphany, my epiphany experience, my time of experiencing that aha moment. Because I believe for all of us that all the things that are happening in your life is God is drawing you closer to yourself. God is continually drawing us to himself in everything that we experience. Let's say today you're having a really hard time at work. I believe God is using that. He's using that to stir and to mature us on the inside. Today is a beautiful day. We're surrounded by people that we love, but are you aware of it? God drawing us into himself in all that we do. The question is, are we aware of it? Do we see it? Or has it become so common that it just passes by? That God's aha moment is recorded in the stars, but we just don't see them. All we see are twinkling lights. The aha is lying just before us because God is continually drawing us. What can we get out of this passage from the three wise men? What do we learn about the epiphany experience that God wants to offer you? The first thing that we recognize is that epiphany always has a purpose. Epiphany always has a purpose. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says, for in the gospel there is a righteousness from God that is being revealed. It is being revealed, but not everybody quite grasps it. Some people can take the gospel and say, well, I've heard it all before, and next year I'll probably hear it again. No, there's something about the gospel that's revealing who God is at a deeper level. And if we understand who God is, then we understand the journey of our lives and what we're about. And we discover more about what life is all about. It has a purpose. Your aha moment is shaping who you are. Because epiphany has a purpose. For the wise men, it was the revelation of who Jesus was, that God had come, and that the world was going to be different, and he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And something transformational happened in their lives. It has a purpose. It also recognizes that your epiphany moment is going to have a plan. It doesn't just happen out of nowhere. It begins with a journey, a sense of discovery, a sense of movement. In Jeremiah, God says, I have a plan for you. If you've ever gone on a trip, you know that very often, whether you think about it or not, you get in the back of your mind how you're going to get there, what road you're going to take, what path you're going to choose. And you recognize that if along the way you get off of the path, it's going to slow down your journey, or you're going to get lost. So many people in their own faith journey have no plan. And so what happens? Any whim of change that comes along, they're distracted. It's interesting that in this passage, that as the wise men come and they worship, and Herod says, go and tell me when you find out what you're looking for. But they listen and they go by another route. They're listening for God's plan in their lives. They're listening to something greater than themselves or the culture around them. And finally, every epiphany is going to require what? Perseverance. And this is where it becomes really hard, especially in our generation. And no other generation will this become harder than for us right now. to stick with it, to stay in the habit of discovering. Think about how far these wise men had to journey, both in distance and in mentality and in philosophy and in religion. Think about what happened in their own lives. In these two passages from Proverbs, God is talking, he said, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. But we have to be seekers. We have to be willing to go that extra mile. It's not going to happen just overnight. The deeper things that God wants to reveal about life and about who you are take time. What a better time of year for Ken to mention his parents have a 70th anniversary. 70 years of living together. I would be willing to bet they know each other pretty well, don't you think? Why? Because they've ridden the highs and the lows. They've seen so much together. They've experienced triumphs, and I suspect they've experienced some tragedies. But they've weathered all of those. They've persevered. And they know a deeper sense of love and commitment than people that just last a couple of years. Think about how rare that is today. And yet they've survived all of it. How well do you know the heart of God? How well do you know the triumphs and the tragedies of life, that you know deep within your core who God is, because you've weathered those, you've persevered. You haven't just satisfied for the commonality or for the barriers that are keeping you from discovering all of that. You're willing to go that extra mile, to seek him out, to know him at a deeper level. Now, that all sounds really good. That tells you, hopefully I've gotten you to a point now where you're willing to say an epiphany from God is a good thing. What I'm not really sure about, and only you can answer, is whether it's good for you. See, a lot of people come away from church and from messages and say, you know, I know somebody that really needed to hear that. Or if you can go back to a spouse or from somebody in your family and say, you should hear what he said. He was talking directly to you. Well, this morning, I'm talking to those that are sitting here, because this is the beginning of your epiphany. This is the morning that you look at the stars and you look at the church and you look at the community and say, God is leading somewhere. Not exactly sure where, but he's leading me somewhere. Now, the question is, are you willing to leave the comfort of what's normal and what's expected and what's traditional in order to experience something new? How do we do that? How can we experience the deeper things that God is talking about? Here are the three things that will help you as you discover your epiphany. Epiphany is waiting for you in the following things. Scripture. It's waiting for you. These are the stars that are telling you something is happening in the world. Jesus is talking, and he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. You don't know the power of God because you don't know the scriptures. You don't know what's possible. You don't even know where he's leading because you haven't opened up the book. Imagine having somebody say, here is the answer, it is written in the stars, but refusing to look up to the skies. This is the beginning of the journey that you're going to take, whether you want to or not, because at one point or another, each and every person here is going to stand before the throne of God. That's the way it works. What I'm trying to do is get you to a point where when you get there, you're not going to be embarrassed and humiliated. Say, I wish I'd have known. I wish I'd have taken that journey. Somebody once said that the real true definition of hell is when the person that I am comes face to face with the person that I could have been. It begins with scripture. It goes on through the power of worship. That aha moment in worship when we come together for communion and we go, oh, now I get it. I know what he's doing. It's the power of sacrifice and the power of service. In Luke 24, Jesus is traveling with his two friends to a place called Emmaus, and it wasn't until the breaking of the bread that their eyes were opened, and they went, aha, now I get it. Now I see. What is the passage in that beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace? I once was blind, but now I see. In a time of worship and a time of humility, we come with gratitude and say, now I get it. Now I get it. And finally, through the power of giving. Jesus says, if you give, and it will be given to you. It will be revealed to you. It is in your giving that there is a new revelation about what is happening in the world, that you are not your possessions, that you are something more, something deeper. Are you ready for that aha moment? Are you ready for that personal epiphany that is going to continue to be revealed? What does it take? It takes some dedication. I wonder, do you ever wonder, like, there were three, the tradition has that the Magi, the tradition were that there were three Magi because there are three gifts. Did you ever wonder if there was a whole bunch of them that started the path? Maybe there were 20 Magi that left, but about halfway through they said, I'm tired of this. My feet hurt. I've got corns. My camel sores are getting horrible. I'm going back. I hate this Israeli food. Right? Are you going to make the trip? Do you have the commitment? Or about halfway through, particularly like around August, I got better things to do. There are more important things than this, right? Because the revelation hasn't really reached down in. It begins with the power of Scripture in your life. It comes to blossom in worship. And as we come together by giving of ourselves, by offering ourselves, we see that epiphany. If you want to experience more of Jesus in this new year, if you want that personal epiphany, make the commitment to be a part of a Bible study. Make the commitment to be a part of worship on a regular basis. And make a commitment to give generously that God can reveal more of himself in your life. As we join together, we're going to join together in a time of communion. May this be the beginning of your epiphany moment. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this time, and we pray, oh God, that you use it to bring glory to yourself and to reveal the power of God in our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Communion is a time for us to come before God, to come clean, and to allow that power of God in our lives. Would you join with me in this time, this prayer of confession? Let us confess that we are not perfect people. Nobody here is perfect, and that's what unites us together. We are in the process of healing. Would you join with me in this prayer? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.